Good morning. Welcome to Bethany Lutheran here in Warren, Oregon. Today I'm preaching on Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30 and 36 through 43. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in the gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Then let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Let anyone with ears listen." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I like black and white, not just in my wardrobe, but in life. I like to know what is right and what is wrong, and then I can make an intelligent, God-inspired decision. I do not like gray, blurred lines. God tells us what is right and what is wrong. So if I'm waffling and wavering in a decision, it's probably because the right choice is not my preferred choice. It may not have a comfortable outcome. However, sometimes the right is not all that obvious. The defining line is blurred. For example, choosing between a job to support the family or staying at home to spend more time with the family. Choosing the best school to which you've been accepted or one that is more affordable. Choosing between two different treatment options for a grave illness. Choosing between supporting someone who consistently struggles at work and pulls down the quality of your team, or firing that person. Choosing between a medical treatment that could harm your unborn baby, or delaying treatment until after the birth, knowing that delay will probably mean your death. Even for stalwart Christians seeking to follow God's will, there can be blurred lines. In this Sunday's parable, Jesus says there will be ambiguous, challenging situations. Our gospel text is about another parable about seeds and fields. This time, we have good and bad seeds. The sower of the good seed is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of the field, which is the world. This picture is of a Van Gogh painting titled "A Wheat Field with Cypresses." One can almost feel the motion of the swirling sky and the trees dancing on the breeze and the rippling wheat. But now focus on the wheat. From a distance, we can see the motion of the wheat. We can see distinctive colors of grasses or weeds mixed with the wheat. Yet if we zoom in, all we can see is brush strokes stacked one on top of another. We lose the distinction. Our parable is about a wheat field sown with good seed by Jesus. But then the enemy, Satan, snuck in when the people were sleeping and sowed weeds among the wheat. Verse 26 tells us it was not until the wheat was matured enough to bear grain that the weeds were discovered. The word for weeds is zizania, a technical Greek word for a particular type of weed that looks just like wheat as it is growing up. Today we know it as darnel wheat. The similarity to wheat is so great that in some regions, darnel is called false wheat. It can be infected with a fungus that can be fatal. It looks like wheat, but it is not. One can barely tell the difference until the grain appears. And by then, the roots are intertwined with the wheat plant roots. So when the servants in our parable ask the master if they should gather the weeds, that is to pull or cut the weeds, bind them into bundles and burn them, he says no, because you will uproot the wheat as well. Verse 30, let them continue to grow together. At harvest time, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat into my barn. Verses 41 and 42, the Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery flames. This parable reminds us how gray the world is. What is good and what is bad is not always so easily separated. Bad people do not live over there any more than good people live here. But notice first, Jesus does not advise his followers to take revenge on the enemy. That's been tried. You know, in the name of God, Christians used the sword against the Turks, banishment on the Mormons, and mass annihilation on the Jews. Second, Jesus does not advise that we try to make the situation pure and perfect. That was tried with the Spanish Inquisition, the Holy Crusades, and burning at the stake those who believe differently from us. Third, while the wheat and weeds can be separated, the roots cannot. By the time we can tell clearly the difference, pulling up the weed plants would also unavoidably tear up the wheat roots. When we banish a poor quality Christian or a non-believer from our church or from our presence, we are cutting off all access to the much needed Word of God, thereby murdering their soul. In the end, we harm them and ourselves. Fourth, Jesus does not call the weeds wild plants that also have an honored place in the diversity of God's creation. Fifth, do not interpret this parable as being tolerant of harmful behavior. For instance, your oldest child is caught with a bottle of vodka in his backpack. This behavior should be dealt with, but you do not remove him from the family or forbid your other children to have any contact with their older brother. Sixth, do not interpret this parable as applying to different individuals. This parable is about the field, the collective experience. Jesus did not weed out Judas from the 12, even though Jesus knew about the betrayal before it occurred. Jesus did not weed out Peter from the 12, even though he knew about the upcoming denials. Jesus knew that all the disciples would run away, that they were all bad followers. They were not producing the fruit that was expected, but he did not weed them out of the fellowship. If Jesus were to weed out all the imperfections, who would be left? I like the commentary of Mr. Rogers. Even a person who is bad most of the time will be good some of the time. And a person who's good most of the time will be bad some of the time. No one is all good or all bad all the time. In this parable, we are reminded that those gray areas will be sorted out by God in the end. God's job is not ours. This parable tells us what will happen to the weeds in the last day. But more importantly, it tells us how the wheat has to react between now and then. Our presence in this world as Christians is to be the good. To be the good with all awareness of what resistance will be. To live the gospel. To be Christ's light when the darkness will try to snuff us out. To be the salt where blandness and acceptability are always the easier paths. We do not live in an ideal world. Every week we are faced with many challenging decisions to which there is no clear answer, and yet we need to make them. And in the end, whether we got it right or not, God will hold all our choices and our lives in His love and grace. You see, the only absolute is His absolution. No matter how our decisions turn out, we can return on Sunday morning, confess our sins, and hear again the words of absolution, forgiveness, and grace. Then we are sent back into the world to make difficult choices as we try to be the people God has called us to be. And we are once again commissioned to go forth into the world to make disciples from weeds and to welcome new believers into the kingdom of God. And so your disciple assignment for this week is to pray for God to help you see opportunities to witness to someone on your list of 12 non-believers. Then follow through and serve the Lord as He calls you to. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our lives are colored by ambiguity, and we do not always know the right or best thing to do. But we do know that your love is guiding us and that you have called us to live as your people in the world. When we face hard choices, give us eyes to see the best path forward and the courage to follow it. When we make mistakes, forgive us. When we are hurt by our choices, comfort us. When we hurt others, help us to reach out to them in love. And above and beyond all these decisions, remind us that you still love us and call us back to this place, that we may be forgiven, renewed, called, and sent forth once more as your beloved children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.